Welcome to the Urban Mission Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information about Urban Mission and other resources, visit urbanmissionjc.com.
I always like to say thank you for the privilege to speak, and to share God's Word. And whenever you share anything from God's Word, it's a blessing, and, you know, there's a lot to be learned, a lot to be to build up our spirit. I'd like to thank Dave and Ruth and John and Sue. I hope they're enjoying themselves. If they're listening or they're going to listen in the future, you know that we didn't burn the church down. It's still here, but the service isn't over yet, so we got to wait. I heard you have to share something, in a church. Like, how do you choose what to speak about, right? You pray about it. You ask God to give you revelation. But a lot of times, it's good to share what God's sharing with you individually. So this year, Dave always encourages us in the beginning of the year to, set goals and to, try to spiritual goals and, regular goals for yourself, for your own development, for your family. And this year, one of the goals that I set was to read through the book of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes as many times as I possibly can. So the way I mainly do it is in the morning. When I'm getting ready for work, listening to the Bible app, and I'm listening to Proverbs and Ecclesiastes over and over and over. So many times, I don't even know how many times I went through it, right? And then, of course, I read it. Ronnie bought me a book called Wisdom 2, which I've been, which goes through the book of Proverbs. So I wanted to share with you guys some of the stuff that's God impressed on me to see, how it might benefit you. I don't know if you ever heard a message on wisdom. It is kind of an interesting topic, right? But there's the definition here. What is wisdom? Wisdom is the ability to discern or judge what is true, right, or lasting. It includes insight. It's common sense, which is something that we don't see a lot of nowadays, right? Common sense, there's so much crazy stuff, like Hannah was saying when she was just sharing a little bit. It's so true. Institutions that we once trusted, you don't have any trust in them anymore. I mean, even like your local doctor, you used to believe that everything they said, and now you got to take everything with a grain of salt because they're just following what other people are telling them, that not even using their own wisdom, right? Which is not the way we're to live, right? So wisdom is part of this. Having good judgment, the sum of learning through the ages, knowledge, right? Then, knowledge is another thing. So there's wisdom, knowledge, and I'm going to also share a definition on discernment, because I think those three go together. And when you read the book of Proverbs, it's mentioned a lot, about wisdom and knowledge and discernment. So knowledge is just the state or fact of knowing, familiarity, awareness, or understanding gained through experience or study, right? So if you want to be knowledgeable in a thing, you study it, right? Why do you go to school? Why do you go to college? If you want to become, my daughter wants to become a nurse, she's got to go to nursing school to do that. She's got to fill her mind with the knowledge of that so that she could be a good nurse. Then there's discernment. Discernment is the act or process of exhibiting keen insight and good judgment. You have good discernment when you can discern a matter, when you can understand what to do, right? So knowledge is very important to know something, but you could be extremely knowledgeable and not be wise. And I'll give you some examples. Like if you look at some of the most wealthiest people in the world, right? Look at actors, actresses, or singers, and even others. I mean, their lives are a mess, right? They know how to make money, but they don't know how to use it wisely, right? They blow the money, or they spend it on crazy stuff, or they're supporting causes that are, off the wall and are disruptive and destructive to people. So they have a lot of knowledge, but they don't have wisdom on how to use, they have a lot of knowledge on how to make money, but they don't have wisdom on how to use that money and how to use it effectively and how to use it to benefit themselves, their families, and others. I mean, it's really a shame. But when you do have, let's say, the ability to gain wealth and you use it wisely, it's a beautiful thing, right? When you can help other people, right? Like I think I heard once, like, you know, if you're poor, you can't help the poor, right? If you're wealthy, you can help the poor. So it's a good thing if you use it properly, right? And that's part of it. So let's look in the book of Proverbs, all right? And this is the first chapter, and this kind of setting the stage for, you know, Proverbs and then Ecclesiastics, which follows after it, right? And Proverbs is written by, you know, King Solomon, who was said to be like one of the wisest men who ever lived, right? So here we go. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom. So this is to teach us how to get wisdom and instruction or understanding, words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence, which is the ability to govern and discipline oneself by the use of reason, to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. We see a lot of that going around nowadays too, right? Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They are garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. It's something that makes you look good, right? When you're wise, it makes you look good in front of people and, you know, whoever you're interacting with. You know, I like the bottom part here, especially I highlighted it. It says, listen, my son, to your father's instruction. So it just didn't say listen to your father's instruction, but also to your mother's teaching, right? It goes hand in hand, right? It's the family unit that you learn from and that you, if you want to be have the best life you can, you listen to what you've been taught, especially if you have good parents, right? We have the best parents out there, God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? That even if you didn't have good parents, you have a good family, you know, because you're in the family of God. And when you're in the family of God, there's no better family around. So this is the setup of the beginning of it. You know, it's all about, you know, instructions. And, you know, there's lots of parables out there. And we even have our own parables in the United States. When people will say different little sayings here or there. But these are parables and words of wisdom from God himself, which was revealed to Solomon, which we should, you know, pay attention to. So how do you get wisdom? Step one, it says, right, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, if you look at the Amplified version, a lot of times when I was younger, I used to think the fear of the Lord was, I'm afraid God's going to strike me down if I do something wrong, I cross the line. You know, it was like fearing like a God who is angry, an angry God who, you know, you don't want to cross that line, you know, like you're going to get smacked down. But if you look at this other, this I think is a much more realistic version of who God is. The reverent fear of the Lord, that is worshiping him and regarding him as truly awesome, isn't he awesome? is the beginning and the preeminent part of wisdom. Its starting point and its essence. That's the very, very beginning, is this, you know, revering God, you know, just adoring God, you know, that's the very beginnings. That's step one. And the knowledge of the Holy One, understanding and spiritual insight. So the fear of the Lord is really revering God, and you don't want to cross that line because you don't want to hurt, you know, you don't want to hurt your relationship with God, right? Like, it's not because he's going to strike you down with a lightning bolt. You know, a lot of times we joke around about that. When my wife says something, I'll say, I'm going to move away from you because the lightning bolt is going to come down. Of course, I'm joking. But I'm like, you know, but it's really, you know, revering God and just you love God so much, as it says here, he's so truly awesome. And isn't he in our worship? And you feel like the awesomeness of God, the power of God. It's so amazing. And you don't want to, like, when your name is associated with God's name, you don't want to bring any harm to that name, right? Like, just like you, if you are representing, let's say you're an ambassador of a country, or you're representing your company and you're going to a meeting or something like that, you don't want to, like, represent them badly. You don't want to represent God badly, because you got your name on. I'm a believer, I'm a Christian, right? So I don't want to live in a way that's going to make my father, not look good, right? I want them to look good. That's the reverence. And, there's a lot of lack of reverence nowadays, too, for God. Like, some of the things that people are saying are okay and God's okay with is, like, mind-boggling, right? Like, some people are even making cases like, oh, yeah, God's okay with abortion. I'm like, how in the wide world can you even... How does that thought even come into your mind? Don't you have any reverence for God? And the things that they're saying that would then encourage other people to do, don't you have any fear of God? You know, as it says in the scripture, like, if you offend any of these little ones, right, it'll be better for you if you had a millstone tied around your neck and you were thrown into the ocean. Don't you fear God, like, giving bad advice to people? It's not just bad advice. It's saying this is what God is okay with when it's not. There's a lack of reverence for the word of God and for representing God rightly, right? So step one is really, knowing who God is, revering him, and worshiping him. Oh, is it? All right, okay. We have technical difficulties here. Is it hissing? Oh, is that it? Do you want me to move this thing? Okay. All right. Part of our AV team over here. All right, so let's move on. So this is almost like, you could even say, like, you ever watch the cartoons, and there's a genie, and you can have any, rub the lamp and you get any wishes you could possibly have. It was almost like that thing where God was telling King Solomon, right? He was like, ask anything of me and I'll give it to you, right? It was almost like that. What would you have said, right? What would you have said? Switch?
Yep.
Okay.
All right. Let me take this off and I don't have to be the spaceman over here.
Thank you. All right. I'll try to remember to keep this up here so you guys can hear. Hello? All right. So, what would you have said if God said you can have anything you want, in the world? Anything, And, I think most people would, I want riches, wealth, and, I want to, have my own island or something like that. I don't know. So this is what Solomon said, to God. And he was a young man at this time, and he was taken over for his father David, and he was like the chosen successor of a very successful kingdom. But he was going to bring it to the next level. That's what the whole idea here was. And so this is what, and Solomon, all these words that he's saying, listen, my son, I'm sure those are like words that David said to him, listen, my son, this is the way, because David was a man after God's own heart. So he was training Solomon up to be a man of God, right? Just like anybody who has a child, that's what you want to do. You want to raise your children to have reverence of God, to follow God. To me, like, with my children, I don't care if you become the smartest person in the world and you could, discovered the cure of cancer. Even more important to me is that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ and you follow him and you walk in his ways, because, yeah, that's good, but it's not everlasting, right? And you don't live, the way, if you're not following God, and let's say you come up with a cure of cancer and you become a bazillionaire, and you're not living according to God's ways, it's all hollow, empty, and, it's only got a little bit of benefit there in the grand scheme of things. So this is what Solomon said in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 8. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, because he was now the king, a great people, too many to be numbered or counted for multitude. So he must have been feeling like, he's feeling the responsibility of being a ruler, a king. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people. He's asking for wisdom. that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this, your great people? It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. And God said to him, because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, behold, I now do according to your word. Behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind. So God gave him a wise and discerning mind. So all these proverbs that I'm going to go through are all, you know, which God implanted into Solomon's mind because he asked for it. So that none like you has been before you, and none like you shall arise after you. So there's nobody's ever been like Solomon. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor. So, you know, there's a really good concept here, too, is like when you put godly things first, everything else follows after it, right? You don't have to seek after wisdom, I mean, riches and honor, because if you put first things first, you put God first, those other things will follow. They come naturally because you've got your priorities straight, right? And that's pretty good stuff. Oh, and I forgot to share the previous slide from the book of James where it says, if anybody lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, and God will give it to you. Not just give it to you, he'll give it to you abundantly, right? But there's a part that we have to play, too. You know, then the part that we have to play, whenever you have to gain knowledge, and how do you gain knowledge? You have to gain knowledge by studying, right? By learning, and that could be by listening to the Bible app, like I'm doing in the morning, or reading the Bible throughout the day, or listening on, you know, when you're commuting or whatever, you're listening to godly stuff, you know? I'm not saying you have to do that 24-7, but you would need to definitely get it into you in order to get, you know, God's wisdom. So now in the book of Proverbs, my son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Anybody want that? I'd like to live a long life. I don't know about you. I've been blessed in my family. I have had a grandfather who was the first one who got saved in my family, who brought salvation. He lived to be 103 years old, my grandfather Salvatore. He was the first to bring the message of the gospel to our family, and it's changed my life. It changed my children's life, my children's children's life, and so on. You know, and I hope to 1,000 generations, as it says in the scripture, right? So you, if you listen and you keep God's commandments in your heart, right, he will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. I'll sign up for that too. There's a lot of crazy stuff going on in the world, but guess what? You could have peace within that storm, you know? I was talking to my wife, Ronnie, recently about, I forgot what movie we were watching. It was something it was talking about, like, the 60s and the 70s, and, you know, I'm old enough that I remember. I was, you know, young back then, but I remember. It was a crazy time back then. Oh, Jesus Revolution. Yeah, we watched that movie. That was really good. We were watching it again. We just bought it, but I love, I love seeing people get saved. I mean, just watching that movie gets you emotional. I love the scene, too, when they're by the ocean, and thousands of people are coming to get baptized in the ocean. It was, like, pretty amazing stuff. But, during the 60s, I remember, like, there was the Vietnam War was going on. There was this whole, everybody were revolting. The young people were revolting. They became hippies, like, they checking out of society and doing drugs and you know, there were race riots. It was like, it was a mess, right? And, you know, through that, the Jesus movement came, you know, where people started turning to the Lord. So even in that craziness, there was still peace. So when you're walking in God's river, you're walking in a peaceful river. So you might think, like, times are really crazy right now and, you know, it's turmoil. And there is a lot of turmoil and craziness out there. But guess what? You still could walk in peace during that turmoil. I remember I shared a message a couple years back here, and I did a little research, and I looked at, like, every generation had turmoil in it. There's, like, you know, you think about my parents' generation, right? You know, they lived through World War II. Can you imagine living through World War II? I mean, I love documentaries and watching stuff, but I can't imagine being, like, my father was 18 years old when he graduated high school, and then he was drafted into the Army, and he went into Belgium, and he got, he was in the Battle of the Bulge, he got captured, he was a prisoner of war in Germany. Can you imagine it? And if you were a believer then, you probably thought the world was coming to an end, right? I mean, it was a world war. There were wars going on in Europe. There was wars in the Pacific. There were places you didn't even know. There was conflict going on. And even during World War I, I mean, the people probably thought that was the end of it, you know, that was the end of the world. But then after that, we had other wars. There was the Vietnam War, right? There was the Korean War. There's Iraq. And if you remember, what was it, Operation Freedom, Iraqi Freedom? And there was these wars, too. You know, everybody has lived through this. We lived through a pandemic 2 years. I mean, who could have predicted that? Some people probably think in the end of the world's coming out. All these institutions that I just mentioned that are going off the rails and crazy, and even, I mean, I was just reading, now they're saying that these are like institutions like dictionaries and stuff. Now they're saying there's more than two sexes out there, right? There's not just man and woman. And I don't even know how you think up this stuff. It's a lack of wisdom. It's a lack of knowledge. It's a lack of common sense, right? But even despite all this stuff, the good news is, you know, we can have a long life, and we can have many years, and we can have peace and prosperity. I'll sign up for that. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Love and faithfulness. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Such good stuff. So love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. It's so important. Carry it with you, right? Write it on the tablets of your heart. How do you get this wisdom? You got to keep on having a constant stream flowing in of God's word into your mind, into your spirit, right? And building you up. You got to surround yourself with people who are going to be encouraging you and lifting you up and who are walking the same way. I mean, I'm not saying you can't, like, you know, have friends who aren't believers, because we got to influence other people too, but I'm saying you need to have that constant flow of God's word coming into you, not only through reading the scriptures, but with your most important relationships. And that's so important. That's how you kind of get it written on your heart. Nothing more important than God's word written on a tablet of your heart. I love this is from Proverbs 3, you know, verse 5. It's like one of my favorite verses. When I was saying this, I was going to say, I'm going to pull a Jeremy, because he always says, this is one of my favorite verses, and it's like almost every verse, every time he gets to speak. I know I say that a lot, but I'm going to pull a Jeremy today. I'm going to say, this is one of my favorite verses. But it really is. Proverbs 3. So I've committed it to memory, right? You know, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. My own wisdom is meaningless. It's stupid. I'm not going to lean on my wisdom, right? In all my ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. He'll make your path straight. So acknowledging God wherever you go. You acknowledge God by the way you walk. You acknowledge God by the way you talk. You acknowledge God by how you interact with people. You acknowledge God how you treat your spouse, how you treat your children. You acknowledge God, you know, in your everyday life, right? That's how, and then he will make your path straight, right? It's good stuff. So, you know, writing God's word on the tablet of your heart. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. When you honor God, right? That's the trusting in the Lord and acknowledging him in all your ways, right? In all your paths. When you do that, you know, all these other good things will come to you. when it comes to you know, relationships, if you read the book of Proverbs, now I'm not going to necessarily cover this today, but I'm going to just share a little bit. What there's a lot of references in the book of Proverbs to adultery and avoiding it, right? Lots of times, you know, and he talks about like staying away from prostitutes, and you know, so I mean, it must have been it is a great temptation, right? Which people have that you need to be aware of. So you know, that's a part of honoring God too, is honoring the relationship you have with your husband and your wife, right? Like that's more important than, you know, a fling I'm going to have with somebody. You know, why would I destroy that, and why would I bring that dishonor, right, to God, my Father, to my family? Why would I do that, right? That's part of wisdom too. Understanding the repercussions of your actions is a wisdom, and understanding that when you embrace sin, it's not just harming you; it harms everybody around you. It'll harm your family. It'll harm your children. It'll harm, you know, it could even harm generations to come, right? And who wants that? I don't want that. That's part of wisdom too, is understanding, you know, that you can, that you should be avoiding these things because of the repercussions of it. Oops. Okay, let's read on. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father the son he delights in. You know, sometimes, you know, as a parent, you think like, you know, discipline. Sometimes you don't want to discipline your children because you're afraid, you know, they don't like it, right? But if you don't discipline your children, then they learn that, you know, bad behavior is okay. And that's why you see a lot of crazy stuff out there and young people committing horrible crimes, because they don't have a father or mother who's in their life who is disciplining them and who's trying to steer them in the right direction. So, you know, there's this concept of being teachable or coachable. You know, it's a good question to ask yourself, you know, am I a teachable person? You know, when somebody brings something up to you, do you immediately say, no, I don't receive that? Or do you ponder it and say, is this really something I need to correct in my life? You know, that's being teachable and coachable. And then, you know, ask God that question. Like if somebody says something, well, hey, you know, you shouldn't talk this way, or you shouldn't do this. And maybe you don't agree with them, but then let the dust settle. Think about it, ask God about it, and then, you know, sometimes you'll be surprised, and that's being teachable and you know, being open to discipline. Blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left are riches and honor. So wisdom, again, it's saying seek after wisdom. Wisdom is more profitable than silver or gold or rubies. Again, here in the end, though, it says you get, when you do put that, this is, again, the prioritization, when you do put God's ways first, then you will get a long life, and you will have riches and honor, right? It's a matter of keeping God first, right? That's how you unpack that. My son, do not let wisdom and understanding out of your sight. So constantly. Preserve sound judgment and discretion. They will be life for you, an ornament to grace your neck. Then you will go on your way in safety, and your foot will not stumble. So I don't know how long everybody's been walking with the Lord, but I could tell you, because of my, you know, acceptance of Jesus Christ many, many, many decades ago, it's prevented me from making a lot of stupid, doing a lot of stupid things, and it's prevented, and it's really things that people struggle with, I don't have to struggle with. Things I once thought were important are not important to me anymore. I don't have to worry about that, those type of things. walking with God is like the best thing you possibly could do, the best decision you possibly can make, because it not only is it, you know, good eternally, like a lot of times we focus on eternity, it's right here and now. I mean, so many like benefits that I have in my life right now are not so many, all the benefits that I have right now are a result of me walking with God and putting God first in my life. And if ever I stumble, it's because I didn't do this stuff. I took my eyes. I took wisdom and understanding out of my sight, you know, if I ever stumbled, right? But the good news is you always can get back on the rails, on God's rails when you do get off the rails, right? So, then you will go on your way in safety and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Why will you not be afraid? Why will your sleep be sweet? Because you know I'm God's child, right? I am in his hands. He's protecting me, right? So when we start having fear come into our heart and our mind, I know Dave spoke about this a little last week too, right? Fear, that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to put fear into our lives. And when how does fear build? Fear builds when we take our eyes off of God and when we are not remembering what God's word is, right? That he will keep us. He will, you know, he that keeps Israel will never slumber nor sleep, right? God's always awake. His eyes are always out there. There's guardian angels out there, right? That says it in the scripture. And I believe there's guardian angels have saved me many times. You know, things you can't even see, you know, in the spiritual world that's happening behind the scenes because you're following God prevented you from getting into so much trouble and heartache, right? But we should have a good night's sleep every night because we're in God's hands, right? And we should, you know that God is our protector. God is our rock, right? That should enable us to have a good night's sleep, and we shouldn't be afraid of what's going on outside, right? Because, you know, he who keeps Israel never slumbers or sleeps, right? He's always out there. He's always watching. He's you know, him and his agents. Remember, who was it? Isaiah? I forgot. One of the prophets, right? And they were surrounded by an army, and there was an angel army out there, and he opened up the eyes. Who was it? Elijah, thank you, right? That's who it was, Elijah. And they saw, their eyes were opened temporarily for the spiritual. I wonder how much angel army is going on around here or around me or around you or, you know, when you're walking down the street, you know, and you're, you know, wondering, am I going to be all right? We have to, our default should be God's got my back, right? Our default should not be I'm afraid because of X, Y, or Z, right? So that's why you can sleep, have a good night's sleep. Have no fear of sudden disaster or of the ruin that overtakes the wicked. A lot of that stuff going on nowadays, right? Have no fear, people. Don't worry, because God's got our back, right? For the Lord will be at your side and will keep your foot from being snared. It's like that Psalm 91, right? 1,000 shall fall at your right hand, 10,000 at your left, but it shall not come to you. Precious promises in God's word, right? Grasp onto those. Don't grasp onto, you know, it's a pandemic and it's going to get me, right? So this is how you become wise in God's ways, right? When you again, let it flow, and you take it and put it into action. It's not just the knowledge, you know. I know God's with me. I believe it, and I'm putting it into action. Do not withhold. This is really good stuff. I think about this at work a lot, right? Because sometimes there's people who kind of like, you know, you're not really fond of, and they really, you know, don't treat other people well. But sometimes you have to honor them, and do not withhold good from those to whom it is due. So even though you might not want to honor somebody or do something good for them or give them a promotion because, you know, there's something that they've done or whatever, you know, and, you know, maybe you don't respect them because of the way they treat other people, but sometimes, you know, you should not withhold good from those who it is due. When it is in your power to act, do not say to your neighbor, come back tomorrow and I'll give it to you, when you already have it with you. So don't, that's not being dishonest. If you, somebody asks for help and you can help them and you say, I can't help you, you know, when you actually can. Do not plot harm against your neighbor who lives trustfully near you. You know, never scheme to, oh, that person crossed me, now I'm going to do X, Y, and Z to get them in trouble or to make them stumble. I'm going to, you know, payback, right? It's like, that's, you know, how many movies are there out there where it's all about payback, right? You got to pay back the person, or, you know, and that's not God's ways, right? So don't let that be part of your mind, of your thinking, right? Do not accuse anyone for no reason. Don't make stuff up, right? That's what worldly people do. They'll make up stuff about somebody so that they, you know, so that the media will pick it up and that there'll be this constant news cycle about this person. And even though it's not true, they'll do that. That's not the way we are to live. When they've done no harm, do not envy the violent or choose any of their ways. Sometimes, you know, you see people prospering, it seems, who are violent, who have done things, or violent with their words, violent with their actions, right? You know, don't go that way. don't admire that, because that's not the way God wants us to live. Again, all those riches and honor will come once we put God first. We do things his way. For the Lord detests the perverse, but takes the upright into his confidence. The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the righteous. You know, one of the other things I've been doing, too, is I've been reading through the New Testament, right? So I'm in the book of Revelation, right? And I, it's good because I, you know, you like, a lot of times you're like worry about, oh, man, the mark of the beast and all this stuff that's going to happen if you don't have the, you know, the mark. And then, oh, you, well, right after the people who have the mark of the beast, all the bad stuff happens to them. You know, it's like, we're on the right side. It's, don't worry about that stuff. You know, don't worry about that stuff. Just worry about, again, living in God's way, because he blesses those that are righteous. And, you know, eventually, those people that are living wicked ways, that are encouraging other people to live wicked ways, it's going to come back on their head if they don't repent and turn to God. So don't admire that, and don't even let that thought come into your mind. If it does, get rid of it as quickly as you can. So a lot of times we respond by, I want, I think, I feel, right? And that's not the way God wants us to respond. He wants us to respond, you know, through using his wisdom and using discernment. And discernment is really a spiritual matter, right? Like, you can discern a thing if you have God's word inside of you. And if you're constantly, you know, looking to God, you'll build your discernment muscle, and you'll be able to say, I shouldn't be doing this. I should be going in this direction, where I heard this, and that doesn't sound right. The Holy Spirit will, you know, check. You ever get that check in your system? Or even if you are about to do something, and all of a sudden, I'm getting this. Let me think about this. Another thing you could do, too, is to, if you're really unsure, talk to some of your godly friends, right, and say, hey, I'm thinking about doing this. What do you think? You know, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, that's how. Part of wisdom, too, is knowing who to ask questions to. So I'm going to just cover two topics real quickly. There's a whole mess of them in the book of Proverbs, but just to a little bit of talk about wealth, right? You know, does God want me poor? How do you get wealth? Proverbs 22:7 says, just as the rich rule the poor, so the borrower is servant to the lender. So that's one of the concepts in Proverbs, that when you owe, you're a servant. And then work ethic is another way, right? I like this part in Proverbs. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? Like that. Isn't that funny? You sluggard. When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a thief, and scarcity like an armed man. This is basically a proverb to say, it's pretty good to have a work ethic and work hard. If you know, sometimes, you know, you hear people, oh, man, I can't wait till, you know, I'm retired. I'm going to do is sit on a beach and all day long. And I don't think that's the way God wants us to live. All right, yeah, there should be occasions where you're sitting on a beach, you know, or whatever, you know, or you're relaxing or something like that. But I believe, like, we are meant to work. We're meant to do things. We're meant to build things, right? We're meant to, you know, to build some wealth, right? So one of the ways, you know, to get wise is to learn things, right? So one of the things I've been doing over the last couple of years, I think it is now, I've been listening to a podcast by this guy called Dave Ramsey, who is a financial guy. He's a Christian, right? But he's a financial guy. So I've listened like a lot of hours of that stuff, right? And so just by listening to it, I kind of became wiser about money and stuff like that. And me and Ronnie were talking to one of our friends, and they were telling us about I'll never be able to buy, you know, my own place. And I'm going, well, that's not true. I'm like, what you need to do is, you know, and you know, they don't have like the greatest job, but they still have a job where they're, you know, making a pretty good salary. The whole thing, and that I've heard from all these things, the things that get people in trouble financially, you know, is debt. And what kind of debt? The probably the worst debt is credit card debt. So, you know, don't buy anything you can't afford when that bill comes in. If you do, you know, you're a servant to the lender. You know, why do you think these credit card companies are in business? They're allowed to charge over 20% interest. You can never get out of that. If you can't pay, if you're only paying the minimum, you're never going to be able to get to the end of it. That's number one. Number two is buying, like, stuff you can't afford, like cars or houses that you can't afford, more than what your salary will enable you to do. And the other thing is student loans. Those are the three things that get the people that I've been listening to this, that get people in trouble. And one of the things that, like, Dave Ramsey will tell people, oh, you've got X amount of debt, you need to go after that debt and knock that debt down. And he even says you need to get a side hustle. So you have a regular job, get another job, right, and start you know, earning some additional income to not go after that debt and knock it off, and then get all that debt down. Then you start saving, and then you'll have enough money for a deposit to be able to buy a house, right? And you'll never be able to do that if you keep on building this debt. So this is, you know, these two things, right? Remember, borrower is a servant to the lender, and, you know, being industrious and working. And ask God, if you don't have a good job, ask God to give you another job, or start talking to somebody, some other people who might be able to help you in that way. Honor the Lord with your wealth. That's another thing. And with the best part of everything you produce, then he will fill your barns with grain, and your vats will overflow with good wine. Being generous is a trait that God wants us to have as believers, right? And when you honor God with your wealth and everything you do, then he'll make you even more wealthier. It seems, you know, I've heard the upside down kingdom, right? Like if you told this to somebody who was, let's say, has no faith whatsoever, and you say, you know, you should be a very generous person, you should be giving like 10% of everything you make away. You're crazy. I ain't going to do that. I want to buy another, you know, Bentley or whatever. Yeah. So, but if you do these things, you know, you will prosper. Now, this is the other thing I wanted to just share, a couple of these proverbs about how to be happy and joy. You know, we should be the most joy-filled people on planet Earth as believers, right? Because we've got it. And we've got this wisdom that we're open to, that we can help us to think the right way and to act the right way. So here's a couple things how to get happiness and joy in your life. Wisdom can make your life pleasant and lead you safely through it. Those who become wise, wisdom will give them life. So, you know, just again, understanding that wisdom, that will give you happiness. The wisdom of God will give you happiness. The one who understands a matter finds success, and the one who trusts in the Lord will be happy. Again, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. The hope of the righteous is joy. Having hope, you know, not always like expecting the worst to happen. Expect the best to happen. It doesn't do any good to expect the worst to happen, right? Have hope. Every day, your life should be hope-filled. You should be the most hope-filled person on planet Earth. One of the things that I heard Steve Backlund, a guy I like, that's another podcast I like to listen to. It's called Igniting Hope, right? And he says, the person who has the most hope has the most influence. Because the hope, you know, it shines, right? When you're hopeful about everything, you know, I'm hopeful about this. It's gonna shine, and it'll benefit you. The sea is in the heart of those who imagine evil, but to counselors of peace, there is joy. Be a counselor of peace. That's how you get joy. It is a sin to despise your neighbor, but whoever shows kindness to the poor will be happy. You know, did you ever help people? When we feed people here for Thanksgiving, we do that Thanksgiving meal. It makes me feel good, and, you know, it makes me happy to help other people. It's a beautiful thing. Anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down, but a good word makes it glad. So, you know, always speaking encouraging words. All the days of the oppressed are miserable. You want to, you know, people who oppress other people, you know, who lord over them or want to lord over them, they're miserable people. That's not the way we are to be. But a cheerful heart has a continual feast. That's the way I want to live. I want to have a cheerful heart. So that's how to get happiness and joy. Now, I'm going to be bringing it to a close here. I'm going to skip this because it's getting late here, and I just wanted to go to Ecclesiastes, and I'm going to just read through this real quick, and then we're going to say a couple declarations and wrap it up. I like this. I like this because I don't know if any of you guys like to philosophize. I like to like think about stuff. You know, I'm like, wow, what is life all about, right? That's what Solomon did, and he comes to the conclusion, the last chapter of Ecclesiastes. This is how his conclusion, after writing Proverbs and all the advice that he gave, that he received from God, after all of this, this is what he said in the very end. He said, remember your creator in the days of your youth. So when you're young, serve God. Before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. This is when you're old, right? You're at the end of your life now. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark and the clouds return after the rain. When the keepers of the house tremble, and the strong man stoop, when the grinders cease because they are few, and those looking through the windows grow dim, when the doors to the street are closed and the sound of grinding fades, when people rise up at the sound of birds, but all their songs grow faint. This is talking about like you're at the end of your life, but it's remember the very beginning says remember your creator in your youth. So serve God when you can, when you have youth, right? When people are afraid of heights, of dangers in the streets, when the almond tree blossoms and the grasshopper drags itself along and desire no longer is stirred, then people go to their eternal home and mourners go about the street. Remember him before all that stuff happens. The silver cord is severed and the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring and the wheel broken at the well, and the dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Meaningless, meaningless, says the preacher. Everything is meaningless. Everything is meaningless outside of your relationship with God, right? So this is basically saying, serve God when you can, when you have the ability to do it. Don't wait for all of these other things to happen. Wait to the end of your life, all that heartache that you will have if you don't serve God that way. Whoops, how do I go back? I know I got to slide it somehow. All right. Can you guys, I just wanted to do that last slide before I do this. I don't know. Can you guys, yeah, there you go. Okay. The conclusion of the matter. This is Solomon's conclusion. Now all has been heard. It's a good way to end a message, too. Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. So in the end, fear God, follow God, and serve him. So if you guys want to stand with me, we could say these declarations, and I'll turn it over to Jeremy. And Jeremy, you can close with a prayer, however you want to do it. So let's just say,
say these declarations together. I will keep God's commandments in my heart. Sound judgment and discernment will guide my life. I will prosper because I am living according to God's ways. I will trust in the Lord and have a joy-filled and long life. Amen.